I'm not sure if we had started our series on Ephesians before those of you who are students went home for the summer or not, but if we had, we are now in chapter 2 and making wonderful progress. I do not plan to be long in preaching tonight because we have some other things going on. I realize for those of you who are in school and have children in school that a lengthy Sunday evening service can at times be more of a burden than it is a blessing, and so we're going to do all we can to lighten that burden just a bit for you tonight. But I do want you to see some things here from Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 10, and we'll read this one verse together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we are indeed your workmanship, that the church, your body, is your workmanship and not ours. Lord, we know that we're saved by grace through faith and that not of works. We know, Father, that nothing that we can do makes us eligible for heaven or spiritual blessing. Lord, we know that all that you've given to us is an indicator of your love to us. And we're thankful for that tonight. I pray that you'd bless our service and all that we do here, the preaching and the singing and all these things that will follow. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight to cause us to recognize our responsibilities and obligations as well as the opportunities that we have placed before us by thee. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit tonight as I share these thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. We are his workmanship. If I drive home any thought tonight, I want you to take with you that principle. We are his workmanship. What is happening in our lives is happening by the grace of God. Our spiritual growth is a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What we are becoming by the grace of God, indeed we are becoming by His grace and no other way. Now, it's possible for us to do a lot of religious things. It's possible for us to be involved in so-called spiritual activity. But if we are growing, we are growing spiritually. Remember that and take that truth home with you tonight. If you're not growing spiritually, I wonder why you're even here. I don't just mean here in this building. I mean here on earth. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's only one project that you should be focusing on. Regardless of how you're manifesting that thing in a practical sense, that project should be to grow spiritually. You should be becoming what God wants you to be. Jesus didn't take us straight to heaven the moment we trusted him as our Savior. He left us here for a reason, and I'm convinced that that reason is twofold. He wants to do something to us, and he wants to do something through us. And he'll never be able to do anything through us until he does to us what he wants to do. That to us, then, is the spiritual growth. And our workmanship, or his workmanship, which is us, is the thing that we want to focus on for just a few minutes tonight. We have an annual theme this year. It'll go in the next year also. It's called Building the Body. And a little bit later, when the preaching is finished this evening, we're going to show you a slide program at the conclusion of the service that was shown to our folks in the stewardship banquet back in February or March, first part of the year. And that the title of that slide program is Building the Body. That's what we're thinking about this year, building the body. And I want you to think about the fact that we are his workmanship as we build this body. It's possible for a church to be involved in all kinds of activity, all kinds of organizational structure, without really growing as an organism. But the Church of Jesus Christ is not an organization. It is an organism. And it's unfortunate that sometimes churches have grown to the place where they become dependent upon their structure more so than upon the Holy Spirit. It's a sad thing when churches become so strong or so denominational in their emphasis that they depend upon their own corporate strength rather than the Spirit of God. I want that never to happen here at Faith Baptist Church. Regardless of how big we become or how many we grow into numerically, I want us always to maintain an atmosphere where we can grow spiritually. And if we ever get to the place where we're not growing spiritually, my friend, we're doing something wrong. There needs to be an atmosphere in which revival can occur. There needs to be an atmosphere in which you can search your heart and determine what God wants you to do and where you can become what God wants you to be. And I will assure you, those of you who are visiting and others here tonight, that if you stay here for long, you'll find that you'll be under a good deal of pressure from time to time to search your heart and to be honest with yourself about your relationship with God. That's what we want for you. And I thank God for the opportunity to be in a church that's filled with people that want that kind of an emphasis. That helps me. It helps me in my own personal spiritual life. It helps me in my family. And the spiritual pressure of the desire to do what God wants us to do is the kind of pressure that we need. We're under all kinds of pressures here. Pastor Dixon says that the SC after Greenville stands for sinus complications and schedule conflicts. I think that may be probably true. But at any rate, we do have all kinds of schedule conflicts here, and there's more to do than any one of us could ever begin to do. But the kind of pressure that we need to be under mostly is not just time pressure and schedule pressure and the pressure of too many commitments, but the pressure to be what God wants us to be. You keep that in mind as we think about building the body and growing. Look at the text. There are two very important principles here. First, it refers to His workmanship. His workmanship. Now, that's you and me. His workmanship is contrasted from what we saw in the previous two verses. Our workmanship. It says in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Whatever we have to present to the Lord, or whatever we have in ourselves for the Lord, is not the result of our works, it is the result of God's works in us. All that we can do is believe. Without faith, it's impossible to believe him, to please Him, Hebrews 11:6 says. We have to believe God and express our faith in Him, and when we do that, He accomplishes the work in us. A key thing that you can remember that will help you throughout your Christian life is this. Everything that comes to you the same way salvation comes. By grace, through faith. You say, well, now, wait a minute. Once I trust Jesus Christ, well, then it's up to me to work, and I don't grow if I don't work. No. You demonstrate that you're growing if you're working. But you're growing if you're having faith. And one of the things that demonstrates ought to have is works. Not faith plus works. Not works without faith. Not faith without works. But faith that works. That's the kind of faith that causes growth. And when we have faith that is the type of faith that believes God and works for God, not in order to earn something, but because we already have something, that is the mature faith that produces growth and appropriates the grace of God. We are His workmanship. He has already done something in us. And what we're doing is using that which He has given us and demonstrating that which He has done for us rather than trying to earn or achieve something. And that's a very important principle to remember in Christian growth. His workmanship. Notice it says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Those two explanatory phrases help us to understand His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus, it says. Not necessarily created by Christ Jesus, although we are in the body of Christ. Created in Christ Jesus. And that's an important principle. You and I were regenerated, those of us that are saved, were regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. Created as new creatures in Christ. The Holy Spirit was the agent of that recreation or that new creation, but the body of Christ is that into which we have been created or into which we have been placed. I've said before that we often have pity and sympathy for those who have handicaps in their body. But you know, I sincerely believe that Jesus Christ has a handicapped body today. And I believe that's one of the reasons that the world looks at the body of Christ as though it were a paraplegic. Because we have a body that will not obey the mind, just as a dear person who has some debility in their nervous system with cerebral palsy or muscular dystrophy or some other limitation, that for some reason or another, the signals from the brain are not being obeyed instantly and smoothly by the muscular system of the body. And so it is with the body of Christ. The mind of Christ is communicated through the Word of God and in our preaching and in our praying and in our time of fellowship with God. We know what God wants us to do, and yet the members of the body will not obey the mind of the body. And that's an unfortunate shame. You and I need to be growing into greater obedience, just like a little toddler. Have you ever noticed a little baby learning to eat? They eat differently. It's a good thing that little babies are so healthy naturally. They'd starve to death before they learn to eat, I think. They, you know, it's no wonder they have such smooth skin. They give themselves a facial every time they come to the table. You know, smooth it right on there, potatoes and all the rest of it. And then as they get a little bit older, we expect them to learn to manage the knife and fork a little bit and be able to feed themselves. Now, at our table, we have some little folks and we have some big folks. And I'm a little more tolerant of the little folks than I am of the big folks. I know that the little folks have to learn. The big folks ought to know better. So it is in a church. If you're a new Christian, if you haven't had much opportunity to grow, we expect you to have certain aspects of clumsiness in your spiritual life, to make a mistake once in a while and to learn from that mistake. You know, there's some things that the only way you can learn them is by experience. I heard recently, you know, experience is a hard teacher. She gives the test first and then the lesson. And so it is that we learn things by experience. A banker turning over his bank one time to a young man was asked this question. Sir, how can I ever run this bank? And he said, right decisions. He says, how do I make right decisions? He said, experience. He said, how do I get experience? He says, wrong decisions. That's the way we learn. We try and we make mistakes and we correct it and then we learn some more and then we don't do that again. And one of the beautiful things about a church community is the opportunity to learn from the mistakes of others. And thank God for that, because no one person has enough years in his life to make all the mistakes for himself. So you learn from the mistakes of others so you can go out and be creative and learn some new ones. You see? Learn from some new ones and make some new mistakes. That's what it's all about. Learning. And we expect there to be a certain amount of clumsiness. But as people have grown, as they read their Bibles and become more spiritually mature and discern what God's will is for their life and do that, there ought to be occurring in that life a gracefulness, an ability to smoothly submit to the will of God. And that is Christian growth. And that's our desire for every one of you. That's our desire for this church generally. I stop and think about the years that I've been here and see the way that we do things. And I see how we're becoming a bit more graceful in making our decisions here. How awkwardly we used to try to discern some of those things. And how we all strive for leadership. And everybody looked at me and I looked at them. And we wondered what to do. And how God has taught us and led us over the years. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. We are created in Christ Jesus, just like a little baby, though, we must grow. We are His body. And just like our bodies must develop strength and develop skills, so must the body of Christ. As a new creature, a newborn body, we must learn to be mature. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not by good works, but unto good works. We don't become a child of God by doing good works. We become a child of God so that we might perform and demonstrate good works. So that we can do good things. Now, what do we mean? Anything that you do to bring glory to God. Anything that you do to testify that you believe in God. Well, what would that include? Anything that you do. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The Bible tells us that when a man's ways are not right or when a man has resisted the Lord, even his prayer is an abomination. One of our men pointed that verse out to me this morning. If a man has resisted God or if he has secret sin or something in which he will not submit, anything that he does is a mockery of God. But a man who is submissive to the Lord, whatever he does can become a means of glorifying God. And so we're not just talking about religious activity merely or things done in the church building, but anything that you do in your life can become a way for you to testify of the goodness and glory of God. We are created unto good works. That's why we teach about the importance of spiritual gifts here. I think it's necessary for you to understand that when God saved you, He gave you gifts. He gifted you. You say, well, I can't do anything. That is not so. If you're a Christian, if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, don't you ever say that you can't do anything. You're giving the Holy Spirit a bad name when you do that. You can do something. You say, what is it? I don't know. Well, study your Bible and ask for discernment and ask God to show you what it is. And God will show you that there's a place for you. And God has given you some opportunity of service. And God has something that He wants you to do. And you ought to know what that is. Now, I think there are times when we can take the idea of spiritual gifts and take it to the extreme, and it becomes almost like a study of the horoscope and that kind of nonsense, and I've seen people who do that. And we're not talking about that here. I'm not talking about people who justify their weaknesses and boast about their strengths because of a particular gift. That's not of God. That's as bad as the charismatic movement. But God has given you a gift of some kind, and He expects you to use that in service for Him, and He expects you to use it in a local church, in a body. He has put you in a body unto good works. Now, friend, this verse teaches me that if you're going to perform good works, those good works should be to strengthen a local church. And you ought to be a member of a good, strong, Bible-believing local church. Many of you are in other parts of the country, and thank God for that, those of you who've come here to get some training. We hope that you'll go back to those local churches and strengthen them and encourage them, and not go back with a know-it-all attitude because you've been here to have some other experiences. But that's the way that we're supposed to grow. His workmanship, not by but unto good works. There's a second thing I want you to focus on for just a moment. And that's not only His workmanship, but our works. The verse says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them." Our works is the emphasis of the second part of that verse. Yes, we are His workmanship, and we are what He is doing. And do you have any wonder that so many people have questions about what God is doing when they look at us? You're the only gospel that some people will ever hear. You're the only Bible that some people will ever read. All that they'll ever know about God is what they see God doing in your life. And friend, you better not be complaining about things too much, especially to the lost, if you want folks to know what God's doing in your life. You better learn to rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice in all things, because somebody is listening to you and learning about God, and you may be lying about God by your complaint. Don't ever forget that. It says, "We're created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Good works and the things that you and I do, the life that we live, the things that we experience in the local church and the practices that we have in our homes and all the other things that we do with the motive of serving God, those things we were put into because they were ordained by God to be our life's activity. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That tells me that the only purpose we have for being here is to serve God and to do what God expects us to do. Not so that we can earn salvation. That's already been taken care of in the previous verses. But because we're saved, we are gifted, we are commanded, we are ordained to be involved in the work of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we're supposed to spend 20 hours a day running around in a frenzy trying to do something that somebody asked us to do. Sometimes young men will come here to study for the ministry and they'll neglect their families and spend just a few years in preparation thinking that they can go through a 4-year program which was designed for single people living in the dormitory. And they'll weaken their families while they're here. Let me tell you something, friend. Building a family is not an alternative to preparing to serve God. It's part of preparing to serve God. You better build a strong family while you're doing it. Don't ever forget that either. Now, unto good works. You know what the word ordained means? Let me give you a literal illustration. I've used this before. When you went home from church today and sat down to eat your meal, as we did at our house, and my wife had made this lovely meal, I picked up my fork and I put it in the lasagna. You know what I did with my fork? I ordained it. That's exactly what that word means. I ordained my fork. I took it and I put it to work, doing what it was designed to do, and it worked well. You see? That's what ordained means. God has ordained us. He has put us to work. Why should we be working? Oh, good idea. Tell you what, God, I've got an idea. I'm going to do something for you. Doesn't work that way. It's not something that we thought up, not something that Paul thought up. It's something that God ordained. He put us to work. That's why we ought to work. Because that's His will for our lives. We were put to work by Him. You see, He's going to finish His work. Philippians 1:6 says, "He that hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Therefore, you and I ought to allow Him to complete that work and cooperate with Him in completing that work by doing the thing which He told us to do. You see, His ordination of us, His putting us into work, is one of the ways that He's going to complete His work, if not the way He's going to complete His work in us. Wouldn't it be ridiculous for us to go to the doctor and say, "I have a problem, doctor, I want you to heal me." He says, "Well, I want you to take these pills and take one of them every hour or whatever and call me in 10 days. And we go home and we say, "Here are the pills. I'm not really into pill taking, but I'll put them on my dresser and I'll look at them every day. And I'll think about them and meditate on them. And I'll become very, very conscious of the meaning of these pills and all the ingredients in them. And I'll study these pills. I'll analyze them and break them down. I'll memorize the prescription on the front of the bottle. And then I'll go back and see the doctor. And you go back and say, I memorized all of it and I studied it and I thoroughly absorbed it. And he'll say, did you take the pills? Well, no, I didn't take them. Well, that's why you've still got the sickness. You see? When God gives us something to do, He doesn't want us to spend all of our lives thinking about it or meditating on it. He wants us to go and do it. Because in doing the thing that He's told us to do, that's how we become what He wants us to be. The exercise is what He gives us to help us to grow. You don't grow without exercise. And friend, if you sit in a rocking chair all your life, the kind of growth that you have will be an unfortunate kind of growth. Don't you think so? You've got to exercise yourself in order to grow in a healthy and balanced way. And so it is with spiritual growth as well. We were ordained unto good works. And then it says that we should walk in them. We should do this. It's an obligation, not just an opportunity. It's a responsibility, not just an option that we have. You see, you and I are sojourners. We are on a walk, on a journey here in this earth. We're passing through. Hebrews 13 tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. We have here no continuing city. We seek one to come. You and I don't belong here. We belong in heaven. I lived in South Carolina for about 14 years. I was born and raised in Kentucky. I think of both states in a sense as my home, although this is really my home. As these crackers say down here in Florida, I've got sand in my shoes. There are red clay on them. One, I don't know, but I think I belong here now. But I don't belong here like I belong in heaven. That's my real home. That's where my citizenship is. And I'm looking forward to going home. But until I go home, I'm going to enjoy the journey by being obedient to God. I'm a sojourner. I'm on a walk. And while I'm here, I'm going to walk in the things that God has told me to do. I'm going to walk in good works. That's why I'm here. And we should walk in those good works. We should do the things that He's told us to do. We're talking about building the body. We're talking about spiritual growth. Friend, the body of Christ will not grow until the individual members grow. And the individual members will not grow unless they're doing the thing that God has called them to do. Unless they realize that the things that they do are not offerings to God, but opportunities to serve God. And everybody can find something to do for God. Now, what does that mean? That means that God wants you to get to work. God wants you to get busy. God has an opportunity for you. I'm not trying to tell you tonight that you should bog your schedule down with things that will keep you so busy for God that you never do anything with God. That's not pleasing at all. But I am saying that whatever you're doing, you better be doing it because you want to serve God and please Him. Because you are a new creature in Christ. You are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, some people hear a sermon like this and they say, well, I guess I better go volunteer for another ministry. I better work in the Awana program and teach in Sunday school and visit for the bus ministry and go on soul winning visitation and teach in the rest home and attend every other meeting of the whole thing. Some of you men would come to WMS if we'd let you. You want to do so much for God. You see? But we're not talking about that kind of thing. We're talking about whatever you do, do it for the right reason. Not just do a lot, but do it right. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it to the glory of God. Recognize that your life is not yours. You're bought with a price. And you can't just say, well, I've done my religious duty for this week. I'm going to go and do what I want. That's not pleasing to the Lord. And it's not satisfying to the soul. You belong to God and you ought to serve Him. Let's pray.